afternoon. This is Gail Sylvia, the host, well, normally the host of SylviaGlobal.com. Joining me again today for part two of a conversation that is actually an interview of me is Marcia Nelson, world-renowned best-selling author of Coming Home, and she is a wealth coach and advisor and a confidant and a friend. Marcia, are you here?
I am absolutely here.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to having our listeners get to know you in an upcoming, several upcoming episodes around your current book and your upcoming book and the fabulous work that you do. But today I know you have some questions for me and want to continue an earlier conversation. So thank you for coming back.
My pleasure, and I look forward to our future conversations because there's so much. You're so full of stories. You have such fabulous, rich stories, and every time I think I know where you're going with something, you do come up with another story from a part of your life I've never heard of. So I am on the edge of my seat as we have these conversations. And I want to talk a little bit about radio, the radio and TV programming you have. But first, I'm so curious about how you connect with so many people, because just one glance down the list of your radio interviews shows people who are mainstream, people I've never heard of, people in countries I had no idea about, and then people who were sort of in, you know, the American backyard. And it seems as though there's almost nobody that you can't get to sit down and have an interview from you. So, you know, and and each one surprises me. For example, the interview you did with a singer and songwriter, Michelle Indiocello. So from the heart and so down to earth, and that was riveting. And then I listened to the Randolph Duke interview, and I expected him to be more about the fashion, and I think of people who are in the world of fashion as really looking at women from the outside, and I'm not always so happy with that, and yet he spoke about women from the inside, and I have rarely heard a man speak with such awareness about women and such empathy and support and love of women and the desire to help women lift themselves up and love themselves and see the beauty that they are. So that was a surprise. How did you meet him? How did you get him on?
I'm so excited to hear your this feedback, because that means that we're moving in the right direction. Again, I meet the most wonderful people by being open and taking any opportunity. I call it my adventure with God. You know, like, okay, Lord, I'm going into a situation. It can be onto an airplane, really tired, just want to get in my seat and curl up with my, you know, my iPod and hear some music and go to sleep. And then I will say intentionally each day, and thank him and her intentionally each night, Lord, thank you so much, you know, for waking me up this morning. Thank you so much. Okay, show me who or what you want me to see today and help me to be open to recognizing them and it, or having that experience that you want me to have today. And then in the moment, remind me, despite all that might be going on outside and inside my own world, that if those are the moments you want me to be aware of. So Michelle Indiocello, I was listening to Pandora on a Friday afternoon. A song came on that I was working on the computer. It's like, oh, I haven't heard that I haven't played that CD in a long time. That music was an important part of a phase of our family's life, and her voice in the background of our daily lives. I wonder what she's up to. Haven't heard from her in a while. Gosh, it would be cool to have a conversation with her. And because I don't regard them as interviews, but conversations like you and I are having now. So I Googled her and did a search and got her, you know, contact for her manager, sent an email, got an email back saying she's out of the country, she'll be here tomorrow. She'd love to have a conversation with you. How about Monday before she leaves for Israel? We'll confirm on Saturday. Saturday, I got a call right after I went off the air, you know, an email. She's back in town. I think she literally just landed. And they said she'd love to have a conversation with you from the perspective that Sylvia Global is wanting to bring forward. And Monday we did it, and Tuesday she was off to Israel. Randolph Duke, I'd love for him to be on the phone right now, you know, on this conversation, to hear his side, because we laugh about it so much. We laughed about that night later on. My version is that we were at an event, and he was excited and anxious to get to a mutual friend, and in his haste, bumped me and knocked over a woman's glass of wine. It was quite dramatic. You know, the wine went flying all over the wall, and other people splattered on them. And I looked at him and thought, gosh, that was hassle, should I get, you know, I'll go get you another glass of wine. And then he's, you know, he kind of looked at me and we made eye contact and a brief little conversation, and we ended up being seated next to each other at dinner. And I thought, this is going to be interesting. And it was like the Lord tapped me on the shoulder and said, this is the moment for today. So I, okay. So I turned and I said, so, you know, tell me your name again. And he told me, and I said, do you come to these events often? It was an Academy Award Foundation gala. And he said, no, but a lot of my clothes are worn at these events. Oh, what do you do? I'm in the fashion industry. Oh, really? I don't know anything about the fashion industry. What was your original passion that drew you to the fashion industry, and do you still have it after all those years? That was the context of our conversation. I did not know his work and the magnitude of his work. I just want to connect with his heart, you know, and how do you do what you do, and why do you do what you do, and what do you enjoy about what you do? So these are different types of questions than and conversations beyond.
So it was his initial clumsiness that got your attention, and then, as you tend to do, you went straight for what's in this person's heart. And I get the sense that is where you come from in your conversations with everybody. What is in their heart? Who are they really, really, really? What matters to them? What is their passion and their purpose, and how are they expressing it?
And he's fabulous. That's absolutely right. And he's fabulous. Oh, my gosh. I was so glad that we had dinner together that night. And that's why he came on the show. Actually, he will be coming back with friends. And that's going to be really, talk about riveting. Wait till you see who the friends are and the places in their hearts that
Ooh.
About things that matter most.
Ooh, now I can't wait for that.
Can I quickly comment on one of the other... you know, you mentioned our neighbors in our own backyard. One of the interviews that's currently posted, and there are others coming, Angela Alexander. And I met Angela. I didn't even remember where I got her book from. You know, I happened to be at a late Thanksgiving holiday with my family, had a stack of books to read and reread, including yours, rereading it. It was fabulous, and I was so captured by this incredible life of faith in the midst of such unexpected, you know, trauma, you know, the loss of two sons, you know, her husband, you know, just all these things that finally when I finished the, right as I was approaching the end of the book, a business card fell out. Well, it was her book, her card. And then I remembered where I got this book. So I called her. I just finished your book. I'd love to have a conversation with you about this. And she said, absolutely. And another lady, Amanda Dufour, who will be coming up, I met in the parking lot of a local hospital, children's hospital, 2 months ago at 10:30 at night, trying to find the entrance to the ER. And she and I sat in that parking lot for about an hour as she, shared with me. I just was getting ready to let her go, thanked her for giving me the directions. And it was like the Lord again tapped me on the shoulder and said, no, she's the one. Call her back. She just said that she's been coming here for a year. And I said, excuse me? He said, you've been coming here for a year. We're in a parking structure at night. And she said, yes. And I said, so that means you don't work here? And she said, no, my daughter is a cancer patient here, and she's 8 years old. And, oh, my gosh. So you're absolutely right. These are not normal conversations that people would expect to hear on a broadcast, but they are a normal part of our day-to-day lives and how we keep going.
Yeah. You mentioned your gratitude, that you start and end the day with gratitude. And say a little more about that, what your experience of gratitude is. It's something that's very personal, very individual for people. People think of gratitude differently. Some people have official gratitude practices. Some people simply have a natural gratitude woven into their day. And for some people, it's a pretty foreign concept. It's easy to get focused on the things that are going wrong and the people that annoy us and so on and so forth. So share a little with us about your gratitude practice or your experience of gratitude.
It's a choice. It's a moment-by-moment choice, a day-by-day choice that then becomes an attitude and a behavior, a demeanor. I'm not good at ritualistic practices. I try to start something and, okay, I'm going to commit to doing this, whatever the routine may be, in the circumstance. And I find that it's a lot easier for me to commit to being grateful, and I can stick with that a lot easier than I can to a mindset of whatever satisfies me just within the moment, or whatever hurts me or disappoints or frustrates me within the moment, that if I start the day with these words, which I've been doing since I was, I think it was seventh grade, I received a little booklet, a morning devotional called The Daily Bread. And I think it was an exercise. It was one of the devotionals. I think that was about sixth or seventh grade that spoke about gratitude. And if we open our eyes and the first thing we see is that we're still here and there's a new day and a new opportunity to create and experience something good, then our experiences throughout the day will be framed with that mindset and that heart set. And so I tried it. And for me, this, just to put it in the context, again, being shy, my paternal grandmother, who I was very close to, used to introduce her grandchildren in this manner. I was the second from the eldest. So she would say, this is my grandson, Alan, my older brother. And she was, this is my granddaughter, Barbara. This is my granddaughter, Joyce. And this is my grandson, Bill. And oh, that's my other granddaughter, Timid. and coming from her, it didn't hurt. The lesson was she wanted me to speak up and be more, not be so timid. And I mean, this went on for quite a while. And so I started to try to take a step forward each day from a place of gratitude and to outwardly express what I was internally recognizing and embracing. And I would choose to do it. And so being timid and in the sixth and seventh grade that's not an easy place to be. Kids can be very cruel. And I would be taunted, you know, for wanting to sit at the lunch table with the white students instead of all the black students. You know, I would be taunted for wanting to take a class in German instead of hanging out on the, you know, with other students in the smoking quad. So I ended up being able to befriend people from all of these different parts of my life and my world by just taking one small step each day and looking for someone and something good that I could connect with, and have just continued to do that.
That's such an interesting dichotomy. There you are, very timid, and yet you're stepping outside the box and enduring your friend's taunts. You've got something inside really big, really driving you, and then there's that timidity, and then part of what was big inside of you turned out to be a big voice, because you now speak to a lot of people, you draw people together from all over the world, you have a lot to share through your own voice and by empowering the voices of others.
You know, it's amazing how these life experiences, no matter how small they are, and they may appear to be insignificant within the moment, are like seeds that grow into wonderful fruits, you know, flower. I loved a garden, so the analogies with the garden are just prevalent and at the forefront. But we plant the seed into the soil, and it's dark in there. But there's some external light that's nourishing, providing nourishment. And there are hidden elements that are nurturing that seed within that we can't see, we can't control. But as long as we nurture it from the outside with what it needs to bring its life forth, then most of the time we get good results. And if we don't, then we get rid of what shouldn't be there and we plant new seeds and go forward. So what has happened through the years is what makes it appear to be so easy and natural for me is to bring people together from different places that otherwise they wouldn't, you know, otherwise would never have perhaps talked or connected. Probably in some cases like an ombudsman, and other times like an ambassador, you know, to connect them for whether it's for business solutions like the Binational Business Leadership Economic Summit for U.S. and Mexico in 2009 that was convened, or whether it's our listeners in Sylvia Global, who are the Amanda DeFores, right in our own parking garages, you know, in our neighborhoods, and the wonderful Randolph Dukes and others, and the First Ladies of Nations, you know, and people like you, you know, just to introduce and say, God, you should meet them. And I think in junior high and elementary school, despite the taunting, to be able to say, but they're really a nice person. Or, you know what, they also like to play volleyball the way you do. You should get to know them. And then to see those connections happen is like magic for me. And to see, wow, I'm glad I did endure whatever discomfort may have been required, because that part didn't last long. It's the goodness as the result that I can carry forward and be thankful for at the end of each day.
Well, and the ability you had the courage to do what you wanted to do in spite of your shyness. And I think often we think, well, if we feel shy or insecure, then that immobilizes us. We think, well, then I can't proceed until I feel more confident or I feel more in control. And some of the most powerful things happen when we proceed even in that state of vulnerability. And it sounds like you did that.
Yes. It's sometimes a lonely place to be, you know, but eventually just keep my eyes on the bigger picture and not wait for someone else to come and rescue me from my shyness or my circumstances, but to look for opportunities to rescue myself by seeing that we've been given so much more strength and resources that we shouldn't take, you know, that I don't want to take for granted, that if I open my eyes again from this place of gratitude and choose to look for it, that there are abundant resources of support and encouragement that keep pulling me forward and release me from any potential feeling of feeling tethered.
Yeah. And it seems like when you talk about inviting people to have conversations with you on your radio program, and I know you have your global TV as well, and in our next interview I'd like to talk more about that. But I get the sense, you know, everybody has a different way of approaching people when they want something of them, and even just wanting someone to be on your show and to share their experiences or their wisdom is still wanting something of them. And I get the sense that what you do is it's not so much that you go after them to try to get them to do what you would like them to do. You receive people. You have a state of receptivity that comes from that early shyness where you became such an observer and noticing who people were and what was going on. And you're very receptive to people. I don't hear that spoken about much as a way to relate to people that you want to connect with and partner with and do some good things with. Do you have an experience of that? Have you thought of it that way, that you're in people's presence and then you're very, very receptive to them?
You know what? I look people in their eyes, if it's appropriate culturally, if there's within the cultural context, if it's appropriate. I watch their body language and I observe their interaction with others. And I don't always get it right, obviously, but if I am willing to be still and just listen and observe for whatever amount of time is necessary, then I can hear. It's just like God's spirit saying, okay, don't be afraid. Go ahead and talk to them. You know, go ahead and introduce yourself. See what you can learn or I can learn from meeting them. And sometimes I learn, oh boy, I want to make sure I don't stay around them too long. Some people, you don't want to be in their presence too long. They'll drain you, you know. And then, but by and large, it becomes a lot easier to have the antennas receptive to the right spirit in people, a good, you know, and what they do. So again, this curiosity and this adventure with God and getting to know more of His creation at all levels and how people live their lives and earn their money and grow their money and give their money away and how they grow their friendships and spread the goodness of those friendships or their leadership influences is what probably a part of what I'm being receptive to. And I think, real simply, we're all human beings. And it's like, wow, I wonder where they're from. You know, oh, I wonder what they do. It's just like the Randolph Duke, again, the conversation with him, you know, I don't know anything about the fashion industry, you know, and the perceptions that I have are mixed, depending on the context of the conversation. Tell me about it, but then tell me about it, like, how did you know that that's what you wanted to do, and how did you start doing it, and where is the, your passion, and is it still there?
Yeah, down at that personal level. I think that's exactly the secret to breaking down boundaries, looking at people, who are they really? Who are they underneath?
Yeah, for who they are. Yeah, instead of what we can get from them and what we want from them, but wanting to actually get to know them and the relationship. And unfortunately, you know, some people, many people, it becomes quite superficial because of the environments that they're accustomed to being in. Others have a lot of pain and hurt from experiences. And so I don't know how to explain my ability to penetrate beyond those walls, but it happens, and I end up being tremendously grateful for their kindness and sharing a part of their lives with me, and even more grateful that so many of them are open to sharing this part of themselves with the rest of the world and revealing parts of their hearts and their soul that reflect goodness and in various, you know, ways.
I think that's a really excellent place for us to pause this conversation and wait for the next one, because I think you've just shown a lot of people who hear this will recognize, I think I'm that way. I'm shy, but I notice and I care about how people are. And I think you might have just described for them their natural way of relating to people, but they didn't know it, and now they can use it and cultivate it.
I hope so. That would be wonderful. That would be a wonderful gift for this, you know, for the purpose of Sylvia Global, is to have more people connect with that part of themselves and to see that there's beauty in that weakness and there's strength in a place that they may not have recognized before, and there's courage, and bring it forward. Bring it on.
Bring it. Yes.
Bring it on. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time and looking forward to talking to you again. Marcia Nelson with me, Gail Sylvia, and you're listening to SylviaGlobal.com.